All right, we want to thank you for joining us for devotions this morning. We're going to turn to Psalm 52 today, and we're going to read this psalm here, and I'm going to make some comments. The Bible says, "Why boasteth thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." And then we have the word Selah there. It means to pause and reflect and think about it. "Thou lovest all divine words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living." Selah. So our second Selah there, second pause. "The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God." So I want you to notice that in verse number 8. "I am like a green olive tree." This is a psalm of David. David is a type of Christ. But David obviously here is writing in reference to the future, because the Holy Spirit is the author. And we know the two olive trees mentioned in Zechariah, also in the Revelation. These two olive trees that stand before God, one on the right hand and one on the left hand, are both Elijah and Moses, and we know that from Scripture. And so this has a future reference in this psalm. You're going to notice that Psalm 53 is about the tribulation, which has six short verses. Now let's keep reading. "I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." So David is also saying he's like an olive tree. He was also anointed, as well as the other two anointed ones that stand before God continually. "I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." Now, before we make some comments on those verses in that chapter, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of learning, of this devotional time today. And we pray that you'll bless what is said today and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love the Psalms because no matter what Psalms you're reading, they always have a devotional tone to it, and always have a comforting tone to it no matter what. But and the importance of understanding the Psalms, though, is to always realize that God is oftentimes referring to the future. The most important day in God's calendar is the day in which Jesus Christ will come back and reign in Jerusalem from the throne inside of a temple for 1,000 years. He's going to reign from Jerusalem, and his throne is going to be inside the temple. Psalm 52 is a future reference to this, what we refer to as the Antichrist. The Bible calls him the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin. The Bible calls him, of course, he's referred to as a prince, as the god of this world. And just to let you know that the Bible wants us to look forward to the future. The Bible says that there's a crown to those who love his appearing. And so much of the Bible, about three-fourths of the Bible, have to do with God coming down through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming down and receiving the crowns of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 says that he's on a white horse and he has many crowns. And he comes with a sword in Revelation 19:15. And so the three-fourths of the Bible are references to this future kingdom that God is going to set up on the earth for 1,000 years. And so never forget that when we're reading the Psalms, that the Psalms many times are having reference not to just some historical event or something that's happening presently in David's day, but also it's many times it's fast-forwarding to the very future in which things will be under God's control, the dictatorship of Jesus along with those who are saved. The Bible says we'll reign with him as kings and as priests along with them. The Bible says we will be like him at his coming in both the book of Philippians chapter 3 and also in the book of 1 John. The Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him. Galatians 4:14 says that Jesus is the angel of the Lord. Matthew 22:30 says that we will be like the angels in heaven. And so if you actually look at all the references in the Bible, Jude 17 will be one of them, that there's an interchangeable word between saints and angels in the Bible. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 1 through 3, I think it is, says that God will come with 10,000 of his saints. And then we read in the Psalms and where the Bible refers to those saints as angels. And so clearly, when we come to the seventh trumpet of Revelation, the Bible says the angels come with him with the sound of a trumpet. And those angels are also saints. Again, this, oftentimes it's interchangeable in the Bible between saints and angels. And so if we trace the doctrine there, we're going to find out that we're going to be like the angels in heaven because Jesus is the angel of the Lord. And so we too will be like the angels. And so we're referred to in the Bible as angels, and so we're going to come with Jesus Christ. The Bible refers as the angel of the Lord. So the Bible is a very wonderful book, and always remember again, Psalm 52 here is talking about the future Antichrist. There are many important people in the Bible. Moses is important. The Apostle Paul is important. David is important. Many important people in the Bible, but the two most important people in the Bible is number one, the most important person is God's Son in the Bible. There are 21 types of the Son of God in the Bible. David's a type of the Son of God. I think Abel would be a type of the Son of God. But there's 21 types of Christ in the Old Testament. And there's also 18 types of the Antichrist in the Bible as well. And so the second most important person in the Bible becomes this man of sin that comes in the future. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Now, there are many people who get up and preach pretty sermons about, you know, the head of the serpent or the head of the seed of the woman was crushed at the cross. Well, that might be, you know, pretty preaching or whatever. But the fact is, Jesus Christ did not crush the head of Satan on the cross. On the cross, Jesus, of course, Catholics like to change that from Bad Wednesday to Good Friday. All right. The Bible says a cross is a curse, and Jesus became a curse for us. So this idea of crosses is a Catholic fabrication. It's very clearly in the Bible that Jesus did not crush the head of the serpent or the head of the seed of the woman. The seed of the serpent. Christ did not crush the seed of the serpent at the cross. He atoned for our sins at the cross. When Jesus comes back, he will then crush the head of the serpent. That's why the serpent seed is Antichrist. So when you look at the Bible and you'll see many times in the Bible about somebody being some evil, wicked man being hit in the head. Goliath was killed by being hit in the head. The Bible says that he came, Nabal. The Bible says God struck him in the head. So he would be a type of the Antichrist. Cain received a mark. Of course, the Antichrist will have a mark. And so Cain becomes a type of the Antichrist. So you'll find this type of thing. Abimelech was crushed with a stone in the head. With a millstone. So again, Abimelech becomes a type of the Antichrist. So you'll find this. Judas, when he fell, the Bible says he hung himself, but then he fell headlong. Again, there will be your head wound. And that typifies Genesis 3:15 with the serpent being crushed in the head. And so you're going to find these types in the Old Testament. This really opens up the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not just a historical book that makes reference to just people who are obeying the law of Moses. It has reference today because it is couched in types of what's going to happen in the future. So the Bible is a living book. Okay, it's living. The Bible says that in Hebrews 4:12 that it is living. And so it can judge your intents, it can judge your motives, it can judge your heart, it's able to do that. And so when the Bible is being written, it's talking about the future as well as the present day and the past. And so that really opens up the Bible because many times you'll go into Bible studies and people will read Psalms like 52 and they'll just restrict it to, you know, Doeg the Edomite and say that it's about him. Really, that's not God's main concern in the Bible. God's main concern in the Bible is when he will judge Satan and he'll judge his seed in the very future. And that's going to happen. And so here we have this Antichrist, Psalm 52, a little nine verse passage about the Antichrist. So this allows us just for a minute to speak about that. The Bible says that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he will be in the temple. and that he will exalt himself above all that is called God, and will be in the temple and will show himself as God. Okay, so in other words, this Antichrist, this man of sin, the man mentioned here in Psalm 52, is going to sit in the temple in the Holy of Holies on a throne for 3.5 years. But what's going to happen is that Jesus Christ is going to come back, and Jesus Christ is going to come to the King's Highway. We won't talk about that because that's can be kind of a laborious study at this moment. But he comes back and he comes in the Eastern Gate and he comes to the temple, and Jesus Christ sits on that throne in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And that's going to literally happen. The Catholics and other denominations like to take the Bible and they like to say that the church has replaced Israel. 90% of the people out there are going to think that the church replaces Israel. This is a very, not just a faulty interpretation of the Bible, it's a fatal interpretation of the Bible. And it's fatal because God's concern is that Israel once again be restored, and that they be restored, and that Jesus Christ come. The Bible says in Luke 1, 32 and 33, in that chapter, chapter 1, that Jesus Christ came to take over the throne of David. Now, that did not happen in his first coming. Jesus did not ever sit on a throne when he came. He never took over the nation of Israel. He never was crowned king of Israel. He wore a crown of thorns, but Jesus never took over that throne that God promised him. And so those are people out there who think that, you know, the church is supposed to spiritually reign over the earth, that is a not just a faulty, but is a fatal mistake. And so I want to say this out there. When you read the Bible, you're not to spiritualize the text. You're not to allegorize the text. The Bible is written literally, and unless it says as or like, then it is not a simile, it's not a metaphor. If it does not say as or like, it is not an allegory. If it doesn't say as or like, the Bible is speaking literally. So let me tell you what's going to happen just for a moment. And the Psalms talk about this as well. So does some of the prophets talk about this. And the book of Revelation talks about this. But I just want to bring your attention to some things that are going to happen in the future. Psalm 53 and verse number 4 says, this is the next chapter. You have Psalm 52, then you have the tribulation of Psalm 53. Let me read Psalm 53, 4. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Now I want you to notice this. This is why we don't take the Bible spiritually or allegorically. Look what it says here. Who eat up my people as they eat bread. He said, Pastor, what does that mean? That means they eat up God's people like they eat bread. He said, well, that's spiritual. That's allegorical. No, that's literal. Isaiah 26 also said the same thing. It says that the remnant that comes back in Israel, the Bible says they would be eaten. Okay? Now, this kind of gives us some insight into the Catholic Mass today. A lot of people don't know what the word Mass means. The word Mass means massacre. I mean, think about that. You have the Mass, which actually comes from the word massacre. And so every time the Catholics go to their, and I'll put this in quotes, to their church, which is the bride of Satan, when they go to their church, okay, they perform the Mass. And they believe that they are literally crucifying Jesus again, and they are literally taking of his body and his blood literally. That's what they believe. They believe that this booze that they drink in their sanctuaries actually turns to the literal blood of Jesus Christ. In the face of the fact that the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17 that we're not to eat blood, it also says in Acts as well that that commandment not to eat of blood has been is pre-law, law, and under grace. We're not supposed to eat blood. That's very clear from the Bible. In Acts chapter 15, the Gentiles were told that they were not to sacrifice these idols and were not to eat anything strangled or eat any blood. This is because God knows that in the future, his people will literally be eaten. They will sacrifice the Jews in the temple at the altar of that temple. That's why in Revelation, when you read about those who were martyred, the saints that were martyred in the tribulation period, that the Bible says that they were under the altar. That's because that's where they were sacrificed. And so, there's another passage. I think it's 14 and verse number 4. Again, the same exact verse. Who eat up my people as they eat bread. So, you see here that the world, as it is today, is in the future going to come under a one world church, a one world coming to come under Rome again. And so I want to warn everybody out there today that there's dangers in staying in the Catholic Church. The Bible says in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18, come out from among them. Those of you who think that we're supposed to be ecumenical and we're all supposed to get together and hold hands and integrate, I want to tell you that's a very dangerous thing, because the Bible, that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants full integration of all denominations, and he wants people out there saying, "What does it matter what religion you're a part of? God respects all religions." That is a damnable. That is a, you will go to hell in that thought. If you believe that you can go to heaven by Islam, you're going to hell. If you believe you can go to heaven by dumping yourself in water, you're going to hell. If you think that you can go to heaven by being a member of some church, you're going to hell. If you think that you're going to heaven because some priest sprinkled you when you were a baby, you're going to hell. You see, you can't just believe anything you want to. And that's where our world is today. 95% of people believe, well, it doesn't matter as long as you have some religion. If you're a Hindu today, you're going to hell. If you believe in Buddhist today, you're going to hell. He said, who teaches that? Jesus teaches that. Jesus says there is no other name under heaven in Acts 4:12, wherein a man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. If you do not come through the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven. And today you will go to hell if you do not believe the narrow way. And Jesus gives us the narrow way. So I want to warn you that the world one day will worship this man who stands in the temple. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, they do it all the time. Every time somebody goes to Rome, they bow down to the Pope. Kings, before they wore their crowns in the Dark Ages, we call it the Dark Ages, we're not politically correct here, but in the Dark Ages, they bowed down, the kings received their crown from the Pope and they bowed down to him. There are people today that go to Rome and they kiss the Pope's toe. There are people that call Pope the Father, and the Bible says in John 17:11 that Jesus called his heavenly Father, Father, and that we're not to call any man Father according to Matthew 23:9. Matthew 23:9 says, do not call any man your Father. And so they are calling the Pope today by the name of God the Father in heaven. So he claims to be the Father. They call him Father. Do not call any priest or any pope a father. The Bible says forbids that. And so this morning, we're just doing a very quick 15 to 18 minute devotional on the fact that when the Bible speaks, it's speaking about things that will literally come to pass. It's not spiritualizing, it's not allegorizing. Read the Bible, read it literally. Do not take Origins and Clement of Alexandria and all those people who began to speak in the fourth and third centuries, and they began to apostatize from the truth that God had given them. Don't believe the new Bibles that are coming out again. They teach us to spiritualize and try to allegorize the text. But I want to tell you something, my friend. The Bible says that everything that God says will come to pass literally.
Unless it says the like figure.
Unless it says as or like, or as like figure, then it becomes metaphorical or a simile. But other than that, I will tell you that it will happen. It's going to come to pass. The Jews again will try to, the Satan is going to try to annihilate them. We're looking at probably 14 million Jews being killed in the future, because again, we have a future Hitler. Of course, he'll make Hitler look like a clown. He's going to make Hitler look like Cinderella. This man who's coming, this Antichrist is coming. He's going to make Hitler look like a schoolboy. And this Antichrist again, who's going to make a covenant with Israel and allow their temple to be restored and allow all their sacrifices to be restored, he's going to turn on them. And just like Saul turned on David, Saul is a type of the Antichrist. Saul turned on David and tried to kill him. Just like Saul tried to kill David, this Antichrist will try to kill Israel. Again, many types in the Bible when you read it, and realize that God's given you a picture of the future when he's recording things in the Old Testament, writing things by his Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you again to continue your Bible study. Again, we're going to go to many different subjects we're going to cover throughout the days, and so we can, if people have questions, we can reference you back to these studies so that you can understand some of the things that are written in the Bible. So I would encourage you today, if you're a Methodist and your preacher or your sister, whoever preaches in your church, sister so and so or brother so and so, whoever it is, I want to say that if they preach postmillennialism or amillennialism, if they don't preach premillennialism, they want to tell you, I would get out of their church, come out from among them, be ye separate, say the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. It simply means this, my friend, we are here to believe the truth, not to hear what some denomination believes, and so on and so forth. Thank you for joining this morning. I hope that our devotion has blessed you. Have a great day.